Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. And, you know, I've got Kate Chapman with me today, and we were talking before we went on air that I have a cold. And I'm just going to put it out there in the open because during that intro, I almost sneezed twice. So if it gets really loud and sniffly and sneezy and coughy, it's me. Apparently school has started, and I've got two of my kids home with me today, too. So pretty funny to be on the radio with a little bit of a cold. But, you know, it's all right, isn't it, Kate? It'll make for good sound effects.
Totally fine.
All right. But I hope my kids get better. They are not feeling so swell, and they're upstairs, and they're like, okay, we got to be quiet. Mom's on the radio. It's pretty funny.
Oh,
so,
poor Ponga.
Yeah, poor babies. I know. I hate that when they don't feel good. But, you know, they're going to love the show when they listen back on it because we've got – this is a cool opportunity, and I want to thank Blog Talk Radio for featuring you today under Staff Picks. Everybody, we have special guest filmmaker Kate Chapman with us, and you've won so many awards for making movies and films, and you've appeared on MTV, Discovery Channel. Your projects have appeared. I don't know if you have, and if you have, awesome.
Not, yeah, I'm scared to be on camera, so yes, the projects that I worked on appeared.
So MTV, yeah, there's a list here of like MTV, the Discovery Channel, VH1. I'm sure you've made your rounds on local TV and film festivals and print and online. It's so awesome that you do all this, and I'm so excited to learn how and why you got started in all of this. But you're the owner of Karmic Courage Productions, which is a film company that produced 13 short projects, and your mission is to showcase stories with strong female characters. And we're here today to not only talk about those projects and everything that you do, but also you have a new film out.
I do. We're in post-production on a film called Ingenue, and it's actually the first feature film that I've ever done. I've done a lot of shorts, music videos, and commercials, but this is my first feature to really dive into a very interesting group of characters put into an extraordinary bunch of circumstances.
It sounds like a very interesting do you call it a movie or a film? I want to call it a movie, but that might be just
Either.
My lack of industry.
Either one. It's one of those things. It's they're easily exchangeable, movie or film.
Movie or film. Okay. Movie's my thing, so I'm calling it a movie.
Sounds good.
I'm pretty excited to learn, though, that the trailer came out today. How can people watch that trailer as they're listening to us? You know, a lot of people listen from their computer and things like that. How can people go watch a trailer?
The best place to go is to go to karmiccourage.com. because we have a lot of information about the film as well as photos and behind-the-scenes videos. But the trailer is actually on YouTube. So if you go Ingenue, Kermit Courage, because there's a couple of Ingenue things out there, you'll find it on YouTube where you can share it, Facebook it, and tweet it.
Oh, that's so cool. How did you get started making this particular, I'm going to call it a film now, film? Switch it out.
This particular one, it's a contest, and I put that in finger quotes, called Script Frenzy. Script Frenzy is kind of a competition where you write a 100-page screenplay in 30 days, and there's an online community to kind of like cheer everybody else on and see how many pages that they got. Well, I was in between projects, and I'm like, I'm just going to take this April. It's every April that Script Frenzy does this, and I'm just going to write something new. And I looked for what I call a creative trigger. Sometimes that's a song for me. Sometimes it's an image or a line in a magazine or something like that. My friend Brian McGuffog had posted a photo of a girl in a box. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write about this. Where did this girl come from? How did she get there? What is she doing in there? And from that, I wrote it in 21 days. Fixed it for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And created it just kind of going off of that inspiration, just finding the story, which is also very odd for me. I usually outline and do index cards and is very methodical about my writing. But this is the first one where I'm like, let me discover it as I'm writing it.
So what did the movie end up being about? Because so from a photo of a, did you say a girl in a box?
Right. Yes. It was just a picture of a girl in a box.
And that didn't turn out to be like a horror movie or anything.
It didn't actually. Yeah, no. The Ingenue is the story about a married couple who finds basically kind of buried in their basement in a box, you know, of old baseball cards and and glass bottles and stuff like that. They find a girl in a box. And in our story, she is a human analog. Some people call her a clone. The people who lived in the house before this couple was a scientist who created these human analogs, and he hid one in secret, and that is our main character, Rosie. They discover her. She has the body of a 20-year-old, but only the intellect of a 5-year-old. So it's very interesting. We see her progress and learn about, you know, pop culture and colloquialisms and all that kind of good stuff throughout the movie.
Hmm. That must be why my book made it in the movie, to teach her.
Yes, that's right. Yes, there's a great session. Yeah, we had where, because the mother who is taking care of this analog is an elementary school teacher. So we have this scene where she's seeing basically her education level. So she gives her Pinky Doodlebug, your wonderful book, to read to see if she can read it. And she reads it. Great. So then she hands her Grapes of Wrath to see if she can read something of that level. And she reads it. Great. Gives her a coloring book. She doesn't have motor control skills. So she's good on intellect, but her body is kind of holding her back. So that's one of the struggles. And that's where Pinky Doodlebug fits in. She reads it so wonderfully.
I wrote it for the right age group then. Well, you know what I love? The reason why I mentioned that isn't to just give, you know, it's neat to have Pinky in a movie and all this stuff. But what I really love that you did is you reached out to your community of people or had people that you know reach out. And you included so many people in this. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because that's a really special treat.
I think it shouldn't be a special treat. I think it should be the norm, actually, because, I mean, I treat, you know, independent publishing and independent filmmaking, we're kind of rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this on our own, you know, collective spirit. And the great thing is there's so many people that are creative and wonderful and, you know, independent business owners who all have the same spirit. And a film is a very collaborative thing. No one makes a film on their own. You need a team of people. So it's the same thing when I was looking for, you know, either product placement or, oh, I need a book. Why don't I support, you know, somebody who's also independent, you know? And so a lot of the businesses that we did product placement in and stuff like that are all independently owned because we're all in it together. We're all trying to get, you know, our voices heard out there, above the mush.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just think it's such a wonderful thing to do, though. And I agree with you. It could be the norm. I don't know that it always is, but I think it's just a neat aspect of the movie. You know, when you know, something that you've done appears in the movie, it's cool.
It is. It's very cool.
Or if you appear in the movie, or your friends, or your friends' kids, or whatever. Would you like to talk about the cast a little bit?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. We had a wonderful cast. The main cast is the family. Melissa Chapman plays the mom. Raymond Kester plays the dad. These two are so fun because in the beginning of the movie, they are bickering at each other. They just do not have time for each other. Everything's frantic. And they go through a wonderful evolution through the film. They have two daughters. The oldest is played by Cammy Leach, who is actually my daughter, so there's a little bit of nepotism in the movie. And then the little sister is played by Jamie Angel, who's absolutely adorable. So that's the family. And then Sarah Moore plays the analog Rosie, who they discover in the basement, who has to go through this very rapid change in development throughout the whole script.
Hmm. That's wonderful. Do you... did you have any, what do I want to ask you? I wanted to ask more about the characters and just how do they prepare, how do you be in a movie? What
right,
do they do
exactly.
to prepare for that?
I
like
think
Goddard,
all of them,
example.
Right, yeah, all of them did different, had different methods, I'm absolutely sure. probably many of them I'm not fully aware of because it's so ingrained in what they do. My daughter, for example, when I was writing the script, she asked me what I was working on, and I said I was writing a new movie, and she said, can you please put me in this one? So when I start, I'm like, okay. So, you know, I started writing it, and I didn't know if it was, you know, going to be the next movie I was going to do. But I wrote it with her in mind. I wrote it with situations that she went through, that things that, you know, that she had said. So I pretty much tailored it right to where she was at. So her lines were very comfortable. And so we talk about, remember when you came home from school and you were talking about this? It's just like that, you know. So I'd use a lot of references, and her and I would talk about it to just make it real, to just kind of put yourself back in that place that she had already been in before. So
yeah,
it was very cute, and she got very exhausted.
Well, I was going to say, what great blackmail to keep your room clean or something. You know, I want to be
right
in the movie. Well, only in.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I have two little ones. I have a Cammy, who is 9, and Samantha, who is 5. And
oh,
Samantha said, I don't want to be in the movie. So she didn't want to be in it. And she saw how hard her sister was working. And so now she is completely on me. Can I be in your next movie? Can I be in your next movie?
Of course. Oh,
yeah. They're both awesome. Adorable and sweet.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the opposite of me with the 4 boys. So 2 girls and I've got 4 boys. It's crazy, isn't it? Our kids the neatest thing. Just off on a tangent for a moment. Don't they just make the world go round?
They do. I mean, honestly, it's one of the reasons why I make films is because of my daughters. You know, I had wanted to be a filmmaker when I was younger. I moved out to California to be the next Quentin Tarantino was my plan.
Uh-huh.
And tried and tried and tried. And it wasn't until I had Cammy, until I had my first daughter, and I'm looking at her and I'm telling her she can be anything she wants in this world. And I was realizing that I wasn't fighting to do what I wanted to do. I was just kind of being very passive about it. So I realized that, you know, if she's going to come to me one day and says she wants to be whatever, a magician, and I didn't fight for my dream, I'll be that naysayer that we all come across of, no, you can, it's too hard, you'll never succeed.
Give up, get a real job.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Where instead, by me, you know, fighting for my filmmaking dreams, you know, I can say, okay, what do we need to do? Let's research, let's figure it out, let's figure out how you can be the best, whatever, magician in the world.
Yeah.
And we'll make this happen together because it's worth fighting for. So that's
let me go on
why
that for
I do
a little
what
bit.
I do.
Well, that's a really important point. That speaks to what Everything Best Ever You is about to the core, because we really love it when people take those leaps of faith and really go after what they really want to do instead of sitting at a job they don't really want to be at or letting time fly by and, you know, realizing they've never done what they wanted to do. And
right, following their bliss, following their passion.
Or their, you know, or what they're good at or whatever. Just because it might not make a lot of money or something like that. There's a lot of reasons why people don't do things. And I'm wondering,
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm wondering what, go back away here and go back to maybe like high school or go back to junior high or even elementary school. What did you want to do then? And how has your past and journey gone to now?
Well, when I first really kind of got the bug, as people call it, what I call is looking behind the curtain of the power and Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the movie Gold Rush. I was 10, the Charlie Chaplin film. And I'm watching the movie, just like, you know, any other kid watching the movie. And there's a scene in the Gold Rush where the tramp, Charlie Chaplin, starts to eat his own shoe. And my mind clicked and went, how did they do that? Because
exactly.
I know he's not really eating a shoe. So then I went to the library and I learned that the shoe was made of licorice so that Chaplin could, you know, eat. And they made like 3 shoes out of licorice. And I'm like, oh, how else do they fake movies? That really piqued my curiosity. And because when you're a kid and you're watching movies, you mostly see actors and actresses. So I told my dad I wanted to be an actress, and he said that I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I took that very seriously. So I started to look at what other aspects of being in that film universe. And I had settled on writing because, honestly, most directors when I was a kid were 40 to 50-year-old men. There was not too many female directors that were out there that let me know that I could do that. Penny Marshall hit finally. And then I'm like, oh, Penny Marshall. There's one out there, Nora Ephron, and then came on the scene, and I'm like, oh, there's
stuff. They're doing it.
But I'm going to stay with writing. It's safe. And then in high school, I worked at a television studio, and I was on-air talent, and I was the editor, and I was writing, and it just kind of got me involved in the whole process. And that's kind of what put that seed. I made little music videos on my own with my friends on the weekends mm-hmm. and completely enjoyed it. But I really put that female directing thing on the back burner until my oldest was born, because I really thought it wasn't for me, that it wasn't a game that chicks could play evenly.
Right.
But the independent film scene has gone leaps and bounds since the 90s, since I was a kid. And technology has made it so much more accessible for me to just go out there and start making a movie and not ask for permission from big studios and big rental houses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily the world changed so I could fight for it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you changed too a little bit there, realizing that it's something that you love to do.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Wait, what would your life be like if you weren't making movies? What do you think you'd be doing?
I have no idea. I know that I would
you know
be a stay-at-home
right
mom.
Thing.
I know I'm doing
no
the right
idea.
Thing. Yeah, because I really can't think of what else I'd be doing. I mean, honestly, I'd probably be working in maybe marketing or advertising and things like that, and I probably would be stuck in a cubicle and unhappy.
Well,
I'd
and
probably
the whole
make more money
you,
than I do now.
Well, yeah, we all would, but, you know, okay. And the whole time you're sitting there in your cubicle, let me just tell you, you'd probably be sitting there with a secret notepad somewhere.
Yeah.
Writing movies or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, writing would never leave me. I know that for sure. I mean, it fuels me. It centers me. I absolutely love the writing process.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I mean, I love to write and do different things, and I can't imagine my life without writing. Is that something that you learned when you were a kid? To write, like, was it strong in elementary school or something like that, or is it just something you picked up along the way? Because I've always loved
to write
since birth.
Yeah. Oh, I did. I had a creative writing class in, I think it was middle school. Yeah, middle school.
Yeah.
That I just absolutely loved and excelled at. And my mom would type up the stories for me. I would handwrite them, and she would type them up, and she would be crying and cheering. Mm-hmm. She's like, "How did you do that?" So my mom was an excellent cheerleader on my writing. I also have dyslexia, so mm-hmm. I had a hard time in high school because your papers were then graded not on creativity, but punctuation and grammar. And so some of my papers I would actually get a D or a failing grade, but the teacher knew and respected how much I loved writing. She'd let me write an extra credit story and read it in front of the class.
Isn't that genius?
English. Yeah,
I
so
love
she really
teachers.
Supported. I know. She's Ms. McCready, by the way. Ms. McCready is awesome.
Yeah.
So she allowed me to really say, okay, I love this story. I'm expressing it in a new way. You know, my grammar and punctuation is not the best, but I'm finding a way to get around that by still telling a story. So
you know, yeah, we were just
great.
Talking about that. It wasn't yesterday. It was a few days ago with Richard Probst on the line.
Yes. Richard,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, he was talking about his struggles in school because if you tested him, you know, like give him a multiple guess test, he'd probably totally not do well at all on it. But if you gave him a different kind of test, he would do well. You know, he credited teachers and things like that for really recognizing how smart he was in fostering his creativity and his skills.
Absolutely.
Just like that. I love that when teachers do that. Teachers, I swear, we love you. And you make
yes.
or break us sometimes, don't you think?
Yes.
Oh
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I loved English, and there were some English teachers that was just so hard to give them what they wanted. But I think still at the end of the day, they knew that I absolutely was trying my best and loved writing.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of those teachers really stood up and fought for me. Other ones are like, she won't get it.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
It's fine. There's a new teacher every semester, so it was okay.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about a teacher and a wise one. Let's go with Amy Pozak for a while.
Yes.
Isn't she just
absolutely
extraordinary?
I do love Amy. She's adorable.
You want to talk about her a little bit? I don't think she's on the line with us, so I'll check here while we're talking. I moved off of the radio show screen here for a second, but let me see if she's on the line. But
gotcha.
Isn't she just a great soul? She's not here.
She is. She is so sweet. I have found such a liking to her that I have told her that I will cast her in all my movies as the mean person because she is so nice. And I find it ironic.
That's going to be a stretch for her to be a mean person.
I know. That's
she's going to have
thing.
To go to
it's
school
so...
or something to learn how to. She's going to have to go to acting school to learn how to be mean. I don't think that's going to work.
She pulls off a mean person on camera. Awesome. You would never know if you didn't know her, what a sweet person she is. She was in Home Security. As Mrs. Akers, who did not like solicitors.
Oh, yeah.
And she's in Ingenue, too, as one of the secretaries at the desk who will not give the mom the medical records of the human analog. So
oh, she does have it in her, huh?
Oh, yeah. She's brilliant.
Yes. What else has she done for the movie? And for you?
Amy is... She's my co-producer and the publicist for the movie. She just loves the crap out of this movie, and I wish she was on so it doesn't sound like I'm putting words in her mouth. But she is just absolutely the sweetest. From the first time that I met her, I was at the premiere of Leah Not Leah, which is a film that I executive produced and wrote. And I saw her over in the side, and she was kind of pointing. She's like, that's her. That's Kate Chubb. I just went on over and said, hey, how's it going? And just got to meet her, connected with her through Facebook. And I'm like, hey, we should have coffee, you know? She just is such a great soul to be around. So
yes, she's a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. I have things in my house here in my office from her, like little gifts and things. And I got stained glass and cards and everything. I just absolutely just adore her. So,
oh, yeah.
Amy,
well,
Amy,
she's our Wonder Woman, too.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder Woman Amy.
Yes. So, all right. Well, you know, speaking of wonderful people and awards and all these things that you're doing here, you want to tell me about some of the awards you won, because it sounds like you won an award on Oscar Sunday in Hollywood, California. And
that was amazing. a film that I had made, it's a 5-minute film, and it's actually on YouTube. It's called First They Came For. And First They Came For is based on the poem by the Reverend Martin Niemöller. And what we did is we took it and we modernized it for today of groups that were being persecuted against and how we had a person who wanted to stand up for them but was scared to. And so that film was showed at the Gold Award Film Festival in Hollywood, California. It showed on Oscar Sunday, 1 mile away from the Oscar telecast. I mean, you could see the red carpet from the building that we were in. And it was absolutely wonderful to me because I had lived in L.A. for 5 years, and I had met some of the most amazing and dearest friends. And then being in Indianapolis, Noblesville area now, friends from Indiana came out to L.A., and my friends from L.A. came out to the screening. So I'm watching this movie with old friends and new friends, old friends who wanted to see me make it, new friends who were so excited to go on the journey with me. And it won, and there was an award. Mm-hmm. And one of my good friends, Ellen Travolt, asked me, would you have rather won on Oscar stage or that stage? And I said that stage because my friends could be there. Mm-hmm. It was all about sharing it with people who had fought for me and cheered me on and everything. So it was me. I felt like I won an Oscar that day.
Yeah.
And that was good enough for me. So it was such a great experience.
Now, you know how things compound and get better and better and bigger and so forth. How do you see this going for you? What do you think is going to happen to you in the next 5, 10, 20, however many years? Where are you going to be and what are you going to be doing?
I have no idea. I'm very much up to leaving it to the universe. It's going to take me where it needs to take me. I don't question it too much, but at the same time, I am putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Honestly, my whole philosophy is have one movie fund the next movie, always making movies. So one leads to the next, to the next, to the next. You know, I'm not here to make one movie. I'm here to make movies. So everything that I do is a stair step into the next one, into the next one. So I just take it one project at a time. I do my absolute best with the resources that I have and the fan base that I have, and I just keep making them. So wherever it takes me, it takes me. It's fine. I don't need to move back to L.A. I'm very happy where I am.
Do you have to move back to L.A. to make all that go? Or because I'm finding that you can really, in this day and age, you can do anything from anywhere.
Absolutely. I don't think... you know, I've done a lot of research on it. I do have a good number of friends who have moved to LA, and I don't see a reason why, you know, if a bigger project comes along that I can't have, you know, spend some of my time in LA, but still have my home base here in Indiana. I don't want my kids to go to school in Los Angeles. Their education is very important to me, and I'd very much like them to finish school here in the Midwest.
Sure.
I think that is very key and very important to me.
Yep. Do you? I was gonna go down the. What do you think of the states? For example, Indiana. Don't you think that they would be so appreciative of you to have all that movie money in the state?
It would be wonderful. We've had difficulty with our tax incentives and things like that. It's all politics. Politics. I just don't understand.
Yeah, you and me both.
I know Michigan was doing great. They had a 40% tax incentive, brought a lot of films to Michigan. Unfortunately, they have their problems. We still have Illinois and Ohio next to us that has a great tax incentive. So there's still, you know, Ohio is only about 2.5 hours away. Chicago is about 2.5 hours away from me. So it's one of those things where it's very mobile to get projects in. I would love to see more projects in Indiana. I've had the privilege of working on quite a few, the Discovery Channel and VH1 and CMT actually filmed in Indiana. So I worked on those projects here, which was great. So there are some. I wish there was more, but at the same time, it's fine.
What do you have going next?
Going next, I'm actually Ingenue is a feature film, and we're going to pair it with a short film, kind of like how Pixar does, how they have a little short film in front of the feature. We're actually filming it this weekend, and it's called The Dream Job, and it's similar, but a little bit different than Ingenue. This is about a woman who cleans the dream catchers so people don't have nightmares. So it's a very fun and empowering story that's going to go forth. Isn't that cute?
With that. Yeah.
This one's actually written and going to be directed by Jeff Moore because I want to spread the love. Carmen Courage is co-producing. We're just making sure that it has legs and it gets the production it needs. Jeff Moore sent me this script and I absolutely loved it. And I said, I want to produce this because I want to make sure this gets made because it's great.
You know, very interesting. I don't think I leave the house without a pair of dream catchers. Earrings.
Oh,
and that's just a coincidence. But yeah, I love dream catchers. My mom owns a jewelry company, and she supplies lots of jewelry around the country and so forth. But one of her main things are dream catchers.
Oh, very cool.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
More karma going around. Good things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, good. How interesting to see you doing all the things that you're doing. Do you talk about, let's go to the horror movie for a minute, because I know there's a horror movie that you made.
A horror movie.
And the reason why I mention that is because, you know, people just don't start off and go, you know, I think I'm just going to make a feature film out of the blue and here I go. Do you have to have some type of starting point, some type of training, some type of, you know, because I don't even know what I would do first to direct a movie.
Right. Well, I've worked on sets where it has been a director's very first time out of the gate making a feature. It happens more times than you think, where they jump into it. The first movie I did was called Laundry Day, and I did everything myself. I lit it. I did the editing. I did camera. I hired my husband and my daughter. Basically, I wanted to screw up privately, and I wanted to learn what I didn't know and learn what I was good at. So then the next movie I did, I went, hey, I don't understand lighting whatsoever. So I'm going to hire somebody who's good at lighting who can fill that gap in my retardedness. So it worked really, really well for me doing it that way and doing short projects to lead into it. I did read tons of filmmaking books. I did go to UCLA until I couldn't afford it anymore. I had to decide school or eating.
School or eating.
It was really tough. I'm like, the ramen noodles were great. And I'm like, oh man. Because I was in school so much. And so being able to work the long hours that I needed to work to be able to feed and pay electricity and all that stuff.
That was I had my ramen noodle moment too, where I'm like, you know, I just got to go home now. I just eating too many of these things.
Exactly. Yes, that and tuna fish, I'm telling you. Tuna fish and ramen noodles.
Yeah.
You really get sick of it after a while.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we've got Amy.
Oh, yeah. But there's...
Hang on.
We got Amy?
Yeah, we've got Amy. Did you want to finish while I'm pulling her on the line here? I can't remember. You're good? Hang on. We'll go with Amy. Amy.
Hello, my superhero friends.
Hello, Wonder Woman.
Hello, I finally got on. My gosh, Elizabeth, you're so popular. You must just have tens and tens of people calling you.
I think there are quite a few. I don't know about my popularity. I think it's more Kate's popularity and your popularity, though. You guys are featured on, it's really exciting that you guys are featured on the homepage of Blog Talk Radio today. And we just thank Blog Talk Radio for doing that. It's a huge honor to be a staff pick. And so I think
people must
have seen that. So thank you all for listening today. We appreciate it. And if you have questions and want to talk to Amy or Kate, you can give us a call at 714-868-0220. Or if you can't get in on the phone lines, you can follow the link to the show. And I've got a chat room open. And you're welcome to type in a question, and we'll read it on air, and they can respond and so forth if you've got questions about making movies or anything like that. But, Amy, welcome. How is everything going with promoting the movie?
Oh, it's been great. I'm so excited. As you know, we had a lot of local people be involved, and now we're even getting some national attention. And we've got you, which is awesome because everybody loves your show and Best Ever You. And it's just going really great. I'm super excited because, you know, Kate did a wonderful job on this, and it's so great I'm just getting excited just to know that we have all this community support too.
Yeah, it's a tremendous following that you guys have going. When you post a link in Facebook to the movie, there are hundreds of comments. I mean, it's phenomenal. It's just wonderful, the support and love going around for this movie. Let's tell everybody one more time where they can reach out on the web and get a hold of you guys. I know they can go to Karmic Courage Productions. That's KarmicCourage.com. Spelling that kind of slowly there. Or you can go to katechaplin.com, which is KateChaplin.com. And can they also follow you on Twitter or Facebook? Like, what's the Twitter account that people should go to?
The Twitter handle is Ingenue Movie.
Okay.
And also, I'm on there too, Kate Chaplin. I'm also on Twitter. Facebook, it is Ingenue Movie as well. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also, of course, on Facebook. I love Facebook. It's a little addicting, isn't it?
It's not just a little slightly so much, yeah. And if you go to besteveryou.com and join our network, we're going to be posting a big kind of an exclusive feature interview with Kate about the movie and so forth, and we'll post a link back to the radio show in case you want to share it with your friends and so forth. But we'll be doing that probably later this afternoon or tomorrow. We'll post that. But if you go to besteveryou.com, you can click and join in there as well. And we'd love to have you as a member, and I know these ladies would love your support.
Yes,
for the
please.
Movie. Yeah, it's a big deal to make a movie.
Nobody does it alone.
Yeah. I say that again.
Oh, nobody does it alone?
Yeah, no, it's nobody makes movies alone, like you were saying. It's a huge, kind of a grassroots almost when you're independent to get the following going and get the support, and then it just, you know, chugs along from there. But when you make a movie and it's all done, Amy, what do you do with the movie? Where does it go from there? It's like, okay, we've got it done. Now what?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to go on the big, big screen. Right, Kate?
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I think I think the most exciting thing about when it's completed is just knowing that it's going to reach so many different lives. And this is really geared towards a family-friendly film. And I know it sometimes might sound a little kind of out of this world, but, I mean, it's just, I love the whole essence of it, how, you know, you have that family and then it just brings them together. And just watching some of the editing going through the process has just really opened my eyes, and it looks beautiful on film, and I'm just so excited. I just hope that everybody will share it and continue sharing it on, and I really think this is going to go far. I'm something I'm really proud to be a part of, and again for me it's so exciting how many people have jumped aboard and wanted to come aboard. And just like with me knowing you, Elizabeth, and knowing about your book, and I thought, wow, wouldn't that be great to have, you know, we needed a book. And mm-hmm. I was telling Kate, I know the perfect person. So I call you, and you just jumped to it, and you love, you know, you're so gracious to let us use Pinky Doodlebug. And then it was fun because we're like, well, you know, maybe, you know, we'll really feature that in the film. And you know, that kind of happened with a lot of different friends of mine across the country, not just in Indianapolis, but, you know, just other friends that wanted to come aboard on it. And I love that process. It's so exciting.
That's what I was trying to describe at the beginning of the show, just how many friends and family and so forth are involved with this, and whether they're in it and have a line, or they're in it promoting, or their logo's up on karmiccourage.com, or, you know, their product is in the movie or whatever. You guys have just done a phenomenal job of connecting the dots.
Yay!
So that everybody can be included, because it's genuinely, to the heart, fun.
Yes,
well, it is
absolutely fun.
It is, and you know, and it's also really, really brilliantly written, and the cast is so good, and it was something like, you know, when Kate and I were talking, and you know, a lot of the stuff I do, a lot of different community projects, and I'm like, you know, I bet you there's a lot of people that really would want to be involved in this, and we'd be happy to either do, you know, donate their services or their time or something. And apparently, you know, I mean, it is true. A lot of it, that's very hard to get that in the film industry today, because everybody wants to be paid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is true. And it was so amazing. I mean, I would just call one person and say, you know, would you like to be involved in this? And, you know, and they'd say, oh, yeah, we would. How can we do it? Or, you know, and it wasn't so much, you know, what are you going to, you know, how much do you, you know, what do we need? How much? This and that. They were, like, donating just wonderful services, mm-hmm. and it was so great. And then it would be like, you know, they'd say, well, you know, my son, yeah, he really is very interested in filmmaking. You know, could he maybe come to the set? And, you know, it was one of those things where, mm-hmm. well, why doesn't he be an extra? And then they, mm-hmm. really, he could be an extra in this film? Oh, my gosh. And then is it like, you know, then he told his employees, and then the employees told the whole community. And this really is spreading like wildfire. I mean, we even have people in Texas and in Florida and in L.A. even contacting me right now wanting to know more about this movie, and it's not even out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
So when it is out, does it go on DVD for people to buy it? What are the distribution channels that are involved? And then also, does it go to film festivals?
Yes. Our marketing plan is to submit it to film festivals, to do a four-walling campaign where we're going to go to different cities and screen the film. Hopefully we're going to have some of our actors and some of our crew with us too for a little meet and greet. It is going to go on DVD. We are going to submit it to, like, Netflix and Redbox. Some of those are out of our control, but those are things that we're going to do. And we're hoping that a major distributor will pick it up, because we're independent. We don't have the backing of a big distributor or a big studio to get it out in front of nationwide. But you know what? We're sure going to try.
You know, we had the cast and directors and so forth from One Hit from Home on a few months ago, and their movie, just like this one, independent and so forth, a baseball movie, it went into Redbox. So
okay.
I wonder if I should connect you with them to kind of get an understanding of maybe how they did that or what they did. That might be
that
a
would
neat
be great
connection for you. Yeah, okay, I'll connect you with them.
I've had a good number of friends who have had great success with Netflix. Redbox has been a little bit, you know, it's still learning the waters. And also video on demand. Video on demand is changing so much as well. The great thing about our film as well, because it hits a lot of different audiences, it's very cable access ready too. So there's some stations that we're going to be looking at to see if they would put it on television, because it fits nice. A wide range of audiences, sci-fi fans as well as families, as well as a strong female character. So a lot of women and anybody who knows a woman.
Yeah.
We all do. We all came from one eventually, you know, at one point, are really going to relate to it and see a part of themselves in it.
Yeah, it's just amazing. All that from Indiana.
Exactly. Well, it can be anywhere. That's the great thing with filmmaking nowadays. It can be from anywhere. So it just happened to be from Indiana on this one.
Yeah. Amy, what makes you love movies so much? Because since I've known you, you're just a total movie buff.
I am. I love movies because it just gives you a place where you can escape. I mean, you know, and you can just really fall into it and know, you know, that it's just it's just a nice relaxing place. I've been involved in movies since I was 7 and in the theater, and it's just something that some people love sports, which I love too, you know, and I just happen to love the world of theater. And and then when you find a good film and you love it so much, it sets you at a good place. And it's also a great activity and something I enjoy doing with friends and my family. So I don't know.
I love movies. I have them all memorized, I swear, from my parents owning a video store. You know, grew up with my parents owning a video store.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
And I worked in it and did nothing but rent movies and watch movies for years. So I love movies. So, and I just have such a deep...
Yeah, they're just magic. They're just magical. Yeah. It's just exciting. And then being involved in them, you know, starting to get involved in them is even, you know, it's just unexplainable. And I truly love feel-good movies. Movies that when you leave the theater or you turn off the TV, you feel like, wow, you know... That was just, you know, what they did was just, you feel elated. I don't even know how to explain it, but those are movies that are really important to me.
Kate, what goes into really making a movie? How long is this movie? How long did it end up? And how many hours, days, weeks, months, years, and so forth really go into making a movie, you know, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour and a half?
This one, the rough cut is actually being assembled. Our guess is that it'll probably be an hour and 20 minutes or an hour and a half for Ingenue. That's our guess as we slice everything together in a beautiful fashion. But honestly, I think I probably take the same amount of time in preparation, whether it's 5 minutes or whether it's an hour and a half. I take a good year through the script process and development. I start bringing people in about 3 months before we film to kind of start to fine-tune things. For Ingenue, we filmed the entire movie in 11 days, which is unbelievable that we filmed it all in 11 days. When you're independent and you're, you know, every day costs so much money. So the least amount of days you can film it in and not exhaust your cast and crew is preferable. And wow, we had our work cut out for us because we had average temperatures of 105 degrees every day we filmed. We filmed one day with 115 degrees. Our lead actress, Sarah Moore, had heat exhaustion. I got heat exhaustion in front of 50 protesters in an extra scene. I started seeing spots and I'm like, hey, we don't have lights on this set.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to need to sit down. We went through some remarkable, you know, Mother Nature entanglements and came through, and you're not going to see any of that problem on film, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
But I usually take, you know, I take about a month to write the script. I take 6 months to fix it. I do a lot with Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. I look at the dot points within the hero's journey methodology. And I also look for through lines of theme and meaning and message and try to have the characters have different interpretations of that. For Ingenue, it's about the strength of family. And there is no one way to say there's a strength of family. So we see it differently from the mom, the dad, the analog, the kids, the report or the detective who shows up. We see different aspects of family dynamic through each character. And that was the through line all the way through. So I spent a lot of time getting that right because the script is the cheapest thing you can fix. It is just time and paper. And if you can get it right on the page, then your production is going to run a lot more seamless. But there's always problems that happen in production, but you're just more confident in the story that you can make those critical decisions to change it up. Be like, yes, we can change that because it still relates to character or still says the same story. So that's just nice.
and we did not cover the horror film yet, so we got to go back there. Somebody's tweeting me saying, "I want to know about the horror movie. What was that?"
It's like, oh, gotcha.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
we tried
right,
to we tried to dodge it, but we're going back there for a minute. Trying to be choppy, but somebody just tweeted me. It's pretty funny.
Oh, okay. So the horror film is Home Security, and Amy's in it.
Oh, Amy.
My big line is, "No solicitors." Which is funny because that's
exactly
all I do by trying to get people to help sponsor.
That's funny.
Exactly. I know. That's what's so ironic. The horror movie came about. There's this group out of Chicago. It's called Jab Pictures, and he makes something called The Collective. The Collective is 10 filmmakers make 10 short films based around either the same theme or the same prop. And they were on The Collective Volume 3 at the time, and I was told through a friend of mine that they were going to do an all-female filmmaker edition. And I'm like, that's great. I don't make horror. I don't watch horror. I don't know anything about horror. So he said, "Are you chicken? You think you can't do horror?" To which I said, "I can do it. I'll show you." And next thing you know, I'm slated as one of the directors to be on The Collective Volume 3. So I quickly wrote out what I think was more of a Twilight Zone type horror, thriller, suspense. I mean, I had to go with what I knew and what resources I had. But I wrote about a crooked security salesman that was selling home security equipment. And his goal was not really to sell the equipment, but to break into people's houses so they felt fearful and would have to order equipment. So that was kind of the premise of our movie.
To do horror,
so as he's knocking on doors, he knocks on Amy's door.
Yeah. That's funny. That's your kind of, I could see that as opposed to like a, you know, axe murder type, you know, kill everybody kind of horror movie. That'd be terrible.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Which there's nothing wrong
that's
with.
The one thing...
Go ahead.
Oh,
no, I
was going to
say, that was
you know,
the one
I don't
thing...
really watch it, kind of freaks me out.
It freaks you out. What were you going to say, Amy?
Well, I was going to say, that was the one thing that I really liked about Home Security that Kate wrote, because I personally am not a huge horror, like I get really scared at horror movies, and like I said, I like feel-good movies. And so it was, you know, after we completed the film, I was thinking, oh, my gosh, how am I going to show this to my parents or to my family? Because they'll be like, what are you getting yourself into? And and it was so great because I, you know, I showed my mom and my mom really liked it. I mean, and she loved it. I mean, it was, you know, and everybody that watches this, it really likes it because it's actually got a little, it's scary, suspenseful, scary, and it also has become a cult classic. And for the different festivals that I've worked on, everyone's always asking about Home Security. And, I mean, that's a big kudos to Kate for that because it's just something that it's not like, you know, bloody axe murder, all that type of things. It's just got a twist on it at the end. It's just really good. And you know, it's always a favorite at all the film festivals. And you know, it's just...
That's cool.
I mean, you know, Elizabeth, I'm going to send you a copy of it for sure. Unless
yeah,
I already
I'd love
did.
To see
I don't
it,
know.
Actually.
I'll
yeah,
send
I don't
you a
know,
copy
I...
and you'll have a ball with it. Your sons would like it too.
Well, it sounds like it's watchable because scary movies freak me out. So
yeah, it's watchable and it's very clever. Kate is very the thing, you know, I always think about Kate, she's very brilliant with her writing and she's very clever. And the way she twists and turns, just like she did with Ingenue, there's these things that you just don't expect and they show up. And that's what makes it such good film and why she's such a great filmmaker and why I'm always proud to be her friend and be a part of anything that she does.
Yeah.
You are so wonderful, Amy.
Amy, what do you think is going to happen to, you know, we're not future predictors here, but where do you think Kate's going with all this movie directing and so forth?
Honestly, I think that this Ingenue is going to set Kate really high on the bar and on the map. And I always tell her every time, I help you with whatever I can do. You know, I want to be there with you when you sit down at that red carpet. I just want to be next to you sitting. I really do. I mean, you know, it's like she said at the beginning of this talk show, you know, she's bringing out female writers and directors, and that's what we need, and that's what people look up to. And I just, you know, I'm just, I don't see, you know, when Kate said, I don't know, 10 or 5 years from now, I'm saying, you know.
I do.
Like,
I can see it.
She's going to be up there. I mean, you know, she already is. But I know that, you know, I mean, you remember that name, Up in Lights, Kate Chaplin.
Yeah. Yeah, at one point I'm going to be like, I
so
interviewed
written,
her. How cool is that?
So it is done.
Don't you think, Amy? Like 5 years from now, I'd be like, I interviewed her. She said, listen to this radio show.
Well, you know what?
Getting her Academy Award.
Well, seriously. And, you know, on a side note, I mean, you know, I really believe that. I know, you know, you mark my words. So it is written. So it is done. And, and the same thing with you, Elizabeth.
Not me.
I remember. I remember when you said that you were going to start Best Ever You, and I was so excited for you. And, you know, gosh, you got to, you know, look at you. You've built your whole career, and it's so awesome. I mean, I always feel so privileged that I know you because I remember when you were the starting stages of this concept, the Best Ever You, and, you know, here I'm on your talk show. I mean, you know,
it's so
awesome.
Well, it's important to note with everybody, even you, Amy, with all the things that you do, because, you know, I've been with you, too, when you're like, okay, I think I'm going to do this or I think I'm going to do this. And I think it's important to note that so everybody can hear it out loud. You know, number one, we don't do things alone. You know, and second, everybody starts somewhere. And we encourage each other and we don't rip people down. Have you ever been around somebody who goes, you know, Kate, tell me how many times somebody has told you to get a real job or Amy, don't do a voiceover or something like that. It's phenomenal, isn't it?
Yep.
The power of negative thinking. And a lot of times that comes from somebody who's had their dream crushed.
Yeah.
So they're just, you know, they're just expressing, you know, what they've been told. I've been told many times, being a female filmmaker, that this is not for me. But I'm still here. I'm still trying. So
it's also, you know, what I'm learning, too, is there's a definition of success. And your definition of it, somebody else's definition of it, and the world's definition of it might all vary. Isn't that interesting? Because to most people listening right now, they're like, she's darn successful. She's made a movie. She's, you know, that kind of thing. And you might be thinking, well, you know, I feel successful and I am successful, but I want to do another one or whatever. Or I'm just great, happy as I am right now. Or, you know, no one knows what somebody else is thinking. And, It's very interesting. You know, I had somebody say to me regarding Pinky Doodlebug, well, you know, it hasn't sold a million copies yet, so it's really not successful. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. To me, it is. You know, to my kids' eyes, it is. Yeah,
I've had that with some of my films where, you know, they'll say, oh, well, it doesn't have that many views or what have you. And I'll say, but you know what? I get emails from people that say that film meant the world to me. That was the film that I needed to see right now in my life. And, you know, that's what matters. If only 5 people see it, but those 5 people, it changes them in some way and inspires them, I've done my job. I'm a success.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I value it. I also value as long as I can make another movie. I'm successful as long as one leads to another. So I've got plenty of stories to tell. So I'm just, you know, picking away at it.
And Amy, you know, and the other thing I want to mention, too, is both of you have a ton of such integrity to you. Can you talk about how important integrity is to you?
To Amy or to me?
Both of you, whatever. Kate, you can go first. I know both of you.
Oh, goodness. I have no idea. I think it's just important to be humble. I think integrity, you know, is something that you don't really plan for. I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not. And I surround myself with people who are better than me, who have me raise my game consistently. Because I know that I don't know everything. But I treat people with respect. I value their opinions. And I just try to be the hardest working person that's on that set that motivates everybody to work their hardest. I said on the start of Ingenue that, you know, we're all on this boat together. And I'm the captain of the boat, but I'm not, you know, I say there's land straight ahead. And if you believe me, you know, whether you're swabbing the decks or whether you're setting the sails or steering the boat, if you believe me that there's land ahead, we're all going to get there together. And that's kind of how, I guess, my integrity would come through.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Amy?
And just being loyal and being positive. I mean, like you said, you have to really, to make something successful, it's just not an I project. It's usually a lot of times it's a we project. And mm-hmm. I've always learned myself, when you give yourself to others and you help others, you're going to receive a lot more back in return. And I just, you know, I've always felt that way around my whole my life, you know. It's like when you give, you always get back. And
yeah.
People respect that and they see that. And they learn to trust you and they learn that you're a loyal person and you're a good friend. And I just have always, you know, based that. I mean, a lot of people that know me personally know I joke a lot and talk a lot about superheroes. But it's not that I have any superhero powers or anything like that. But a good friend always told me once that there is a little superhero in all of us. And I truly believe that, you know, if we just all put together our sources and our good energy, it will come back and unfold 1,000 times even more. And so, yeah, I always surround myself with good people, good friends, with good morals, because that's important.
Yeah.
And to me, integrity is something that's it's extremely important. And I just try to, I personally try to live my life by being a good example for others. And I think with that, I think that, you know, that's.
Yeah, good things happen. It's all good.
Yeah.
We have 2 minutes left. I just wanted to let you know this hour flew by. I wanted to close on how did you come up with a name for your production company?
Oh, Karmic Courage. It comes from basically what we've just been talking about. Karma is what you put out into the world to get back. My hope was that by putting out good is such a vague term, but by putting out good movies, meaningful movies, inspiring movies, that those will come back, that those will be replenished. And courage is to have the courageousness to be able to do that, to put good messages out and get them back. Because it's very easy to fall into a trend, but my company is all about showcasing strong female characters and having the courage to do that so we get more back in this world through karma.
No.
And Elizabeth, that's really what Kate does. I mean, honestly, if I had to choose anybody right now to ever work with or to be a part of, it'd be Kate, because she really is. She's a true foundation for female writers and directors and producers, and I truly mean that with my heart. I mean, she's just amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud and honored to be her friend, as well yours.
We all love you. Thank you, and I appreciate you. And here's what I want to say: with 1 minute left, we're going to run this show we're going to run this show 5 minutes longer. So for everybody listening live, the show is going to cut off. But what you can do is you can click on replay. It's a free replay, and you can listen to the last 5 minutes of the show, because I completely spaced, and as we were talking, I forgot to play the audio clip that we have. And I really think that we should do that. So can you, Kate, I'll throw a volleyball in the air here. Can you set up the clip? We're on Letterman.
Oh, yeah. yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This clip, it is Melissa Chapman. She plays Carol. She is the mother who finds, with her husband, she finds the analog in her basement. The agent of the Alliance Cologne Corporation, otherwise known as our bad guy, has just arrived and said that he is going to take her away and take care of the problem, which we all think and all assume is that they're going to kill this analog. And the clip is Carol's response to that.
All right, here we go. I think. Hang on just a minute. Here we go.
When I was a kid, I used to walk to school. And every day I'd pass this dog fenced in the neighbor's backyard. The dog never barked. And it always come to me. And it would wag its tail. And it would lick my hand through the fence. Some days I'd see the man of the house scolding, smacking the dog. I knew it wasn't my place. Yes, I walked on. And one day it roamed into our yard. It was dirty. And it had a cut on its leg. So I threw the collar away. And I begged my parents to let me keep it, claiming it was a stray. But they knew better. And they made me take it back. And I never saw the dog again. But I did hear the gunshot. And I did see the fresh grave. And I couldn't help that dog. But I can help her. I need to help her.
Melissa did such a great job throughout the whole movie. In that scene, the crew was just in tears. It was hard for us after that scene. We really, really felt for her.
Yeah. Now, how old of a gal is she?
Sorry, what?
How old of a gal is Melissa?
Oh my goodness.
You don't have to give away. She sounds so young. My point is, she just sounds so young. Her voice.
Oh, gosh. She's in her 30s.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She sounds like a great... a very good dramatic actress. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about her? Has she been in other things?
She is an actress from South Bend, Indiana area, and she is relatively new to the scene. She was in three features before Ingenue. She, one of the last couple of films that she was in, she had kind of a rough experience with it. But we have a mutual friend, Jessica Stone, who said, no, Kate's totally different. Go audition for Kate. So Melissa came down, and she actually did her audition. And when she was doing her audition, I wasn't totally gravitating towards it. But when she stopped her audition and she started talking to me, that's who I knew was Carol. I said, that's who I want. The person who was talking to me was so free and full of life and energy. That's what I want. Allowing her to really just kind of not be herself, but you know what I mean? To have that comfort of you don't have to perform was really wonderful. And Melissa just shines so well in this.
Sure. Well, that is so good to hear. And it sounds like you got to the core of who she really is too. It wasn't fakey fake. It was really her. So,
She's brilliant in it. I mean, her tears are real.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's what I mean. It sounded like it. She sounded, I couldn't tell if it was a, I haven't seen the movie, and I saw the trailer the other day, and she's very young. So that's why I was asking if she was, you know, I didn't mean to ask her age exactly. I know it's like an actress thing. I didn't mean it that way, Melissa. Sorry. Anyway. All right. Well, good. We're ending on laughter, and I always love laughter, so it's all great. I just want to thank you both for being with us today so very, very much. It's just an honor and a blessing to have you with us, and I just all the success in the world to you. And to you both, and to your movie Ingenue, and everything that you do in the future. I I hope you'll make us a part of it here at Best Ever You, because I think you'll find that we're all following you and cheering you on. It's a very Best Ever You thing to do.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been awesome. This has been
thank
such
you.
A great
time.
March. Really, really pleasing.
Good.
Yeah,
well,
and
in March
the movie.
In 2013, can we come back to Best Ever You?
Oh. Please, come back whenever you want. It's all good. We love to have you. And I'm so very, again, we'll end here on your websites and your Twitter accounts and things like that. But I just want to thank again to Blog Talk Radio. You can tweet them at Blog Talk Radio if you want to shout out to them and thank them for featuring Kate and Amy today and Karmic Courage Productions and their movie Ingenue. Huge supporter. Blog Talk Radio always supports everybody who does everything independent. I absolutely love them. They are just such a force and a positive energy, and they just get behind everything we're all trying to do, and they're just wonderful people. They have helped our radio show so much. I appreciate it, and they help all of our guests. So love you guys at Blog Talk Radio, and just if you want to follow up on the movie or any of Kate's movies, you can go to KarmicCourage.com or KateChaplin.com, and you can follow Ingenue Movie on Twitter or Kate Chaplin on Twitter, and we thank you very much, and you can always connect with Amy. Amy, can you spell your last name so people can find you?
P-A-U-S-Z-E-K.
Okay, so Amy Pozak on Facebook. Are you on Twitter also?
Yeah, I got to get my Twitter
I hear
going.
That. You're not on Twitter that much. I heard that. Yeah. Okay, Facebook for Amy. Everybody else, we're on Twitter or the website. So, all right, thank you both so much. Take care, everybody, and have
thank
a great
you,
day.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
All right.
Thank you so much. All right, thanks. Love you.
I love you, too, and much success with everything you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Right,
thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.